Pobre Haripo. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 23 and 24. Soti viryo suro rama, he Krishna kharupa drikha, atmatulya dulbaler anyer, Gnati bir bahubir vritya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Rama, O Krishna, Denuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. So there is no purport to this verse. So we'll go to the next verse. Text number 24. Tasmat krita narahara naraharad bhiter nibir amitrahan nasevayate palsu gune pakshi sangher vivarjitam. So the translation is, the demon Dhenuka has eaten man alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tal forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. Purport. The cowherd boyfriends of Lord Krishna and Lord Balram encouraged the two brothers to go at once to the Tal forest and kill the ass demon. Indeed, here they address the brothers as Amitrahana, killer of the enemy. The cowherd boys were engaged in ecstatic meditation upon the potency of Supreme Personality of Godhead and reasoned thus, Krishna has already killed terrible demons like Baka and Aga. So what is so special about this obnoxious jackass named Dhenuka, who has become public enemy number one in Vrindavan? The cowherd boys wanted Krishna and Balram to kill the demons so that all the pious inhabitants of Vrindavan could enjoy the fruits in the Tal forest. Thus, they requested the special favor that the ass demons be killed. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, Krishna is addressed as Amitrahana. Amitra means when Shatru. Shatruhana is the killer of the enemy. The cowherd boyfriends, they are addressing Krishna and Balram both as the killer of the enemies. But they are the killer of the enemies, but they are not the killer of the enemies which are visible. They are the killer of the unvisible enemies, the anarthas in the heart of the devotee. They also take away that anartha also. As his name, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also called Hari. He takes away. He takes away the unwanted, the undesirable out of the devotee's heart, the anarthas which are undesirable. There's a verse in 10th canto, Yasyaham anugrihinami harishweta dadanam sanne. Tato janam tadantasya svajana dukha dukihitam. So in this verse, Krishna says that when he bestows the special mercy upon his disciple, his devotee, then he takes away whatever undesirable, whatever wealth, whatever prestige, whatever he has, he takes away from him. And what is the result? That all the friends and the relatives leave that person and he becomes completely helpless and he surrenders to the Lord. So he is Amitrahina. So these Shatrus within himself which are undesirable, that also he takes away. As Balramji is a Guru Tattva, so Guru's job is to take out the anarthas from the disciple. So here, their lordships are, they take away the unwanted, undesirable from them. So it's for the advancement in the spiritual life of that devotee, Lord takes that. And the primary cause of the Lord to appear in this world is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritanam. So he is actually protecting the devotees and killing the miscreants. He is punishing the miscreants. So he is the killer of the miscreant. And in the purport, Prabhupada gives a wonderful definition of sadhu and miscreants. He says that very simple definition he gives, the one who is wholly and fully 100% Krishna conscious is sadhu. And one who doesn't care for Krishna conscious is a miscreant. Very simple as Prabhupada himself. He was so simple. So actually the king or the head of the state are the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they also should have this type of quality. Paritranaya sadhunama vinashaya cha dushkritanam. They should have this. They are supposed to protect the pious and punish the miscreants. But if you see in today's world, the so-called leaders of the society and the head of the state, they are actually vinashaya cha sadhunam and paritranaya dushkritanam. If you see, just for their own personal benefit, they are favoring the miscreants, and instead of protecting the pious, they are blaming the pious and blaming the faith of their pious. They are just blaming the symbol of that faith, saffron. They are blaming. So this is the job of today's so-called leaders. In the purport of one verse from Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 21st chapter and 58, Prabhupada writes that protecting energy of the king is supposed to be the energy of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada mentions the word paritranaya sadhunam, and then all he says. And he says, the potency therefore to give the protection to the pious and kill the demons or undesirable, it comes directly from the Supreme Lord in the king or the head of the state. And the king or the chief executive of the state is supposed to possess such quality. But Prabhupada writes in that purport only that in this age it is very difficult to get this type of leaders. And he says that they are actually, and on the other hand, they are actually expert in killing the innocent, and they are favoring the miscreant. Prabhupada writes in that purport, this is what is happening right now. So, but Krishna is not like that. Krishna is always ready with his club, disc, lotus and conch. Club and disc to punish the miscreants, and lotus and conch to favor the pious and protect them. So as these are this type of demons, miscreants are there. Similarly, there are some human beings who are killer of their own soul. There is a verse in 11th canto, Nrideha adhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena bhatsyateritam puman bhavabdim natarets atmaha. So this, in this verse, it's written, Nrideha adhyam guru Nrideha adhyam sulabham sudurlabham. So this human body, which is awarded, which can award all benefit, is sulabham sudurlabham, it is said. It's sulabham. In one sense, it is easy to get. It comes on automatically by the laws of nature. But it is very rare, sudurlabham. So when one gets this opportunity, durlabh opportunity, and gets this human body, so this is compared to like a boat, a nicely constructed boat, and which is having the captain, Guru Karanadharam, as a spiritual master, as the captain of this ship. And the favorable winds are the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one gets this opportunity, and if he is not utilizing that opportunity, and he is considered the killer of the soul. So today's verse, the Lord Krishna and Balram are referred to as Amitrahana. They are killer of the enemies. But these Atmahas are the killer of their own soul. But if you see, anybody can kill the soul? We say the soul is eternal. Najayate mriyate vakadachina nayam butva bhavita vanabhuya aja nitya satshvato ayam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So it's written aja. Ajo means, which is unborn, shashvat, eternal, nitya, eternal, shashvat, permanent, and purano, the oldest. So it is eternal. Nobody can kill the soul. But the killer of the soul simply means that one who do not understand that he is soul and who is on the bodily concept of life, he is killer of the soul. And sometime Prabhupada says that killer of the souls are living dead, because they are considering what is dead to be themselves, and what is living, they are ignoring it. So that is, they are considering this matter, material, chemicals to be their themselves. So who is that is killer of the soul. So, but who is killing whose soul? If you see, who can kill whose soul? Nobody is killing your soul. You are killing your soul yourself. Nobody can kill your soul. You are killing your soul yourself. But this killer of soul, they don't not only harm themselves only, but they harm the whole society, the civilization. All, as Prabhupada used the phrase, the self soul killing civilization. So what is the destination of this soul-killing killers? It's explained in Ishopanishad Mantra 3. Andhena tamasa asurya namate loka andhena tamasa vrita tamste pretya vikachanti yeke chatma hano jana. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the world of faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that there are two types of human beings, suras and asuras. So there is, in the whole universe, there is nothing else, only suras and asuras. So one, actually asura means, Sanskrit word asura itself means opposed to light. And it indicates darkness and demonic. And sura, they are in knowledge and light. So in Prabhupada also mentioned that human life is a life of responsibility. And these asuras, they don't take that responsibilities. They just don't want to take the responsibilities. They are like animals, even worse than an animal. Because animals, if you see, they are called the survival of the fittest. They are not actually, as human being cooked, he grows his own crop and eat. But they don't grow, or they depend wholly on nature. And human being is exploiting the nature and misusing the natural resources like anything, if you see. They have become worse than the animals. Srila Prabhupada says, misusing the natural resources means one is not taking the life of human responsibility. The human being is misusing the natural resources by exploiting it. And exploiting it by the modern technology, he is actually trying to extract quickly and fast. In abundance, he wants to take out from the earth. And that is how he is actually harming the mother nature. And if sometimes this technology and all sounds practical, but most of the time, when they are misused by the greedy human being, it's most irresponsible. Men go drill the mother earth, and he goes deep down, 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 and to get the resources very quickly and in abundance. So what happens? Bhumi Devi, she's withdrawing herself. The resources are going deep, deep, deep within inside. Why? Because Bhumi Devi is withdrawing herself. Normally, if one person comes with a knife in front of you and tries to poke that knife in your body, what happens? You will withdraw yourself. So similarly, Bhumi Devi is also withdrawing. and taking all resources down, down within herself. And it's actually happening. If you see, many of us might have heard that in golden days, we used to find the gold nuggets in the stream. There was no need to dig and go inside the, on the surface of the earth only you used to find the nuggets. I go to Burma for my business. So they are there, they are mining the rubies and the sapphires. So earlier they used to just go 20, 30, 40 feet and they used to get the rubies. There was no need. In the courtyard of the house also someone digs for construction used to find the stones. It was so easy. But now they are going hundreds and hundreds of feet inside and they are not able to find the rubies. So it has happened. That is what these miscreants have done. They have just used the technology just to get everything in abundance and quickly. They have extracted all, they have tortured the Bhumi Devi. She has been actually, they are drilling her on the heart of her, on her chest. And now she is not able to tolerate. She is not able to tolerate and she is what? She is cracking. It is a saying when somebody is not able to tolerate, we say that he is broken up. So she is also breaking up. And what is the result? Earthquakes, famine, droughts. She has become hard, no crops. So that is what is happening. And what will be the ultimate result? It is explained in the 11th and the 12th canto of Bhagavatam that one day it will happen that man will kill his own family member and eat them. So that will happen when we'll misuse the natural resources like this, which these demons have been doing. So the human being, this modern human being, what he thinks, he can do it on his own, he can do everything. He wants to lord it over the matter and he can do whatever he can do. And the man works hard to satisfy his stomach and the senses and he doesn't care for the self-realization. He doesn't care to worship the Lord and he doesn't care for the self-realization. So this modern man thinks that he is able to do everything on his own. There was one brand of kids' clothes which was named Oyo. What does that mean? On your own. So these kids are from the early age to been taught that you have to be on your own. You can do it on your own. On the name of self-respect, they are being taught to become arrogant and independent. That is what this civilization is giving them. So, but in spite of thinking himself to be so powerful, what happens? Few years back, when there was a recession in US, everybody was frightened that when he will be kicked out from his job. It happened so. So, in spite of making so many measures, ensuring their wealth, ensuring their health, life, everything, they were finding themselves miserable. It was not the case 40, 50 years ago. If you see in India at least, 40, 50 years ago, every town and village used to be self-independent. They used to have everything. This is a gift of the globalization, what it has given. The natural resources and everything was abundant and people used to be satisfied with what they used to get and they used to be self-dependent on their own. But the globalization, what that globalization has done, it's every country is dependent on others. Something happens in US, something happens in Europe, Far East or Middle East, wherever it happens, it immediately affects the Indians. What is the reason? Practically, if you see, every evening what happens in the European stocks or in the evening, in the night, what happens in the Nasdaq US stocks, it actually, the next day morning, it decides what the Sensex will in Bombay. So it is so interrelated and so dependent on each other. It was not the case 40, 50 years back when the farmers were in fact, they were not affected by what has been going on with the neighboring farmer also. They were so self-dependent on themselves. But the so-called killers of this soul, they have made this situation happen. And what will be the destination of this killer of the soul? It is explained in Ishopanishad that they will go to the darkest region of hell, as explained in Sri Ishopanishad. Once Srila Prabhupada was in London, and Prabhupada was being asked, what is this darkest region of hell and how it is? So Prabhupada said, you don't need to go anywhere. Here in the Oxford Street only you will find that hell. That is hell. And once one reporter, actually, he was interviewing Prabhupada. That was also in London. And that day it was raining. It was very dark and bleaky outside. And that reporter asked Prabhupada, what is hell? And Prabhupada said, London is hell, looking outside the window. And reporter said that, is it that it is raining, it is dark and bleaky, that is why you are saying it is that London is hell? Prabhupada said, you are very intelligent. Then that lady again asked that, but Prabhupada, it's green everywhere outside. So Prabhupada said, it's green hell. So Prabhupada was bold. He can speak anything. He was sitting in London, in front of TV camera, live show, he was speaking that your country is hell. So that bold Prabhupada was. Once Prabhupada's disciple asked him that, why are you so bold, Prabhupada? Bold and fearless, he asked. But Prabhupada just ignored in the sense he acted that he has not heard that. Because how can he admit himself that he was bold and fearless? So he just acted that he has not listened to that question. And immediately some other person asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, why do you chant Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada immediately replied, by chanting Hare Krishna, I become fearless. So by giving answer to this question, he has answered the question, earlier question, that what makes him fearless? So that is, he is not taking credit to himself. He is giving the credit to the holy name. He is telling that holy name is making me. So then that person asks again that, what do you mean by making me fearless? Prabhupada says that by nature I am fearful, but the holy name is making me fearless. But actually he was fearless. He was Abhaya Charan. But it was his humility that he said that I am fearful, but holy name is making me fearless. So when you chant Hare Krishna, there is no hell. We become fearless. There is no hell. Because hell is the state, hell is a state of consciousness. And similarly, chanting Hare Krishna is also the state of consciousness. So asura who are opposed to the light and indicate darkness and demonies. So when one come to Krishna, this hellish darkness goes away and there is always light everywhere. So one has to take the advantage of this human body, as explained in that verse of Nirdeha Adhyam Guru Karanadharam. When the Guru Karanadharam, you should go to the Guru Karanadharam, who can dispel all darkness within this and make Krishna appear in your heart. That is the job of Guru. He not only take away the darkness, but he makes Krishna appears in your heart. So we have to give away this material demoniac mentality of lording it over the matter and material nature and just exploiting everything. But how it will go away? By rendering service. By rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from false desire of happiness. When you render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, render service to the Guru and Vaishnavas, slowly and gradually this controlling and exploiting mentality will go away. And then false desire for happiness will never come in your mind. So one has to approach the Guru with very humble state of mind. As it's written, Tadvidhi pranipatena, Pariprashnena Sevaya, Upadekshyanti Tekanam, Jnanina Tattvadarshina. So, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Parivsh. So, one has to go with the humble state of mind, one has to serve that self-realized soul And that self-realized soul can impart knowledge into you. So one has to become humble and simple. As Krishna consciousness, it says that it's simple for simple and complex for complex. So one has to be simple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that saralta hi vaishnavta hai. The simplicity is Vaishnavism. To be Vaishnav means to be simple and humble. That is the ornament of the Vaishnav. Humility and simplicity. So one has to learn how to be satisfied with what Krishna has given and not demand unnecessarily from others. And that will make that person humble and polite, slowly and gradually. Once I had heard one on the simplicity, I have heard from Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He had said that when he came back from US, he was new Bhakt that time. He came to Vrindavan. At that time in Vrindavan temple, there was a Prabhupada's godbrother, Ananda Brahmachari. He was been serving there actually. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he was very impressed with the simplicity of that Brahmachari. He said, we were the newcomers, he was worshipable by us. He was the godbrother of our guru. So he was worshipable by us. But that Ananda Brahmachari, he not only used to cook for all the devotees, he used to wash pots and he used to do the menial service over there. And he was enthusiastically, he was old at them, he was almost of Prabhupada's age, little less than Prabhupada, but almost of his age. And he was so old, but he was enthusiastically serving the devotees there. And that what Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was glorifying him like anything. That whenever I think of simplicity, first Ananda Brahmachari comes into my mind. He was so simple. And he was doing every day and out. Every day he used to do this. He was helping every devotee to be comfortable there in Vrindavan. And there's another pastime of Srila Prabhupada himself. When Srila Prabhupada had heard of Bhuvaneshwar Gaur Govind Maharaj has bought one land for the temple there. So he immediately wanted to go there, but he was engaged somewhere. So after some time, he visited Bhuvaneshwar. So when he landed there at the airport, the disciples, all of them, took him to the circuit house, the government circuit house, with a nice bungalow, with a big lawn, the best place in Bhuvaneshwar to stay. They have made that arrangement for Prabhupada, and they took Prabhupada there. Prabhupada immediately said, where is Gaur Govind? So all of them said that he is there in the jungle, Prabhupada. He is there in that land. He is taking care of the construction there. He's there. So Prabhupada said, I won't stay here. I'll go and stay with Gaur Govind. I won't stay here. He left that place and immediately went there to that land where the ISKCON temple is right now. But there was nothing. There was a construction still going on. Only the foundation has been laid. Nothing was there. And Gaur Govind the Swami Maharaj, he himself with his hand had made a small hut for Prabhupada of mud and straw. He made that hut for him. And Prabhupada stayed there for almost, I think, 4 or 5 days. He stayed there in that hut. And there was no facility at all. There was nothing over there. He used to, for the toilet also, he has to go out. There was no toilet. He had to take the lota and go out for the toilet. And Prabhupada used to, Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj used to, there was a, that hand pump was there. Gaur Govind Maharaj used to use that hand pump and Prabhupada used to take bath below that in the open. So Prabhupada was so simple. If you see, he never had a desire to have the facilities and the opulence. It happened that he was going in the places where he was being provided with it, but he just as a service, he had taken that opulence and facilities. But he himself, as he had said in the words, he had said that, I can sit down under the tree and preach. I don't need any hotels or any big houses or temples. I can sit under the tree, but people won't come. So it is here, practically he stayed in the open, in a small mud hut. So that is how Prabhupada was so simple. So devotee has to be simple and humble to get the mercy of the Guru. And when he gets the mercy of Guru Karnadhara, that Guru will actually make Krishna appears in the heart of the disciple. I'd like to end here if anybody has any question or something. Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.